Okay, good morning to all. A Freilich Chanukah. So we saw a not so simple piece of Gemara yesterday, Machloikas Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn the Mishnah. We are talking about where one of the two litigants says that I'm prepared, and this is his prerogative, obviously, in monetary matters, to rely on somebody who essentially min haTorah would be posel. He's neither a valid dayan or a valid aid. But if one of the two litigants said, I'm prepared to rely on him, then he may do so. When it's all discussion, can you backtrack a machlokes? Contra mea, you can be chayza. Contra the rabbanon, you cannot. We seemed to have had a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi said quite clearly that we're talking about that the father or father-in-law is being relied upon as one of the dayonim. Tosfos seems to learn that no, it's talking about he's relied upon as one of the edim. So let's for the moment go with Rashi just for simplicity's sake. So we have a bezdin of three dayonim, one of whom is going to be the father. Now, under ordinary circumstances, obviously the father is totally posel because he's a korev. But if one of the two litigants said, I'm prepared to accept his judgment as a dayon together with the two other dayonim, then he may do so. Now, what we have not yet discussed, and this is what we're going to do now, it's a little bit complicated, is who exactly is talking over here. We have a malve, a lender, and a loive, a borrower. The malve is always the one trying to extract the money. The loive is trying to withhold the money. The malve claims that you owe me money. The loive says, no, I don't. So when we say that my father or your father is being relied upon to do what? What is it that he's being relied upon for? So let's have a look at the Gemara. Second line of the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Let's just read the words, we'll translate, and then we'll see the Rashi. And we have to make sure that things are clear at every stage. Machloikis, the machloikis between Ramea and the Rabbonon about whether you can or cannot change your mind, b'chayza, is only in the following case, b'mochul loch. Only in the case, for the moment we're just going to translate, where he says, I am moichel you. Meaning, I forfeit the payment. You do not have to pay. Avol, in a different case, be'etein loch, in a case of, I will pay you the money, then divrei hakoil yochel lach zerboy. Then everybody agrees, there's no machlokes in that case, everybody agrees that he can backtrack. So this is the subject of our sugya. We have two cases, and we have to get used to these phrases, mocholoch and etainloch. Let's have a look at Rashi. Rashi explains. Says Rashi, b'mocholoch I toiveya. So we spoke about words before, the malve and the loive. The words that Rashi uses the whole time, and we have to get used to these words, Toiveya and Nitva. Toiveya is the claimer. Nitva is the one being claimed against. Says Rashi. I Toiveya Omar le Nitva. If the claimer said to the one claimed against, so we might call that the malve said to the loiver, the lender says to the borrower, listen here. I claim you owe me $1,000. Ne'mon olai abo oyevicho. I'm prepared to believe, either my father or your father, im yizkucho, if they make you innocent. Yehei mochul loch, then I forgive you and I waive the money. That's what it means. That's how Rashi is explaining the case of mocholoch. Mocholoch means I, the claimer, despite my claims that you owe me $1,000. But in the event that your father or my father makes you the correct party, not as I claim that I'm the correct party, but if they claim that you are zakai, you are correct, you are zeiche bedin, then mocholoch, I'm prepared to forego the money. I'm prepared to waive the $1,000. That's the case of mocholoch. Says Rashi, in that case, hosam, over there, ka'omri rabbonon. That's where the rabbonon explained, einoi yochol lachzor boy. We had a machloikus in the Mishnah between Reb Meir and the Rabbanon whether he could be chayzer. Reb Meir says you can be chayzer, you can backtrack, and the Rabbanon said no, you cannot. So the Gemara now, in the name of Shmuel, is qualifying that. Yes, the Rabbanon said you cannot backtrack. That's only in the case of mochul loch. Why can you not backtrack? Says Rashi, very, very important principle. Deho zocha ze b'mesha b'yodoi. Because he was zoicha, that which in his hand, mikiven sheyotzo zakai, seeing as he emerged innocent. Which means, imagine two people come to Bezin. It's a very, 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 very important yisoid, Rabbi say. If two people come to Beis Din, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven claims that Shimon owes him $1,000. Fine. So the Beis Din have a judgment. Now let's not talk about our complicated case of the Abba or Vicha. In a regular normal case, three Dayonim, Reuven claiming $1,000 from Shimon. Now imagine the Beis Din say, yes, Reuven's claim is correct, and Shimon has to pay the $1,000. So there's no question about it. Shimon has to now take $1,000 out of his pocket and pay it to Reuven. But if we were to be asked this very important question, when the Beis Din paskened that Shimon is chayv to pay the money to Reuven, at what point does that money now become property of Reuven? When is Reuven considered to be koina that money? And the answer is obviously when Shimon pays it to him. The fact that Shimon owes it to me doesn't mean that I am the owner of that money. I have a claim, a rightful claim, because Beis Din have paskened in my favor. But I have not been koina the money. The money is still very much firmly in your pocket. What about the other way around? What about if the Beis Din actually said that, no, the other party is correct, and Shimon does not have to pay the $1,000? Then we would agree that that money is now considered absolutely Shimon's. He's been zoicha in that money, and it's his. Therefore, says Rashi, in our case, when the malve said to the loive, the toivea, the claimer said to the nitva, listen here, I claim that you owe me $1,000. There's $1,000 sitting in your back pocket. I claim it belongs to me. Not only that, I'm prepared to follow the guidance, the judgment of your father or my father. They're going to be one of the three Dayonim. So the Beis Din Paskin in his favor, meaning in favor of the one who is being claimed against, and the Malva said, okay, I said quite clearly that if the judges come out in your favor, then I'm moichel, I'm going to waive the money. At that point, the nitva rightfully claims this money is 1,000% mine. I've been zoiche in this money. That's when the rabbonon say, well, if that's the case, it's too late now to change your mind. He's already been zoiche in the money. So let's have a look at that Rashi again. B'mocholoch, I toivea omar lenitva. If the claimer said to the one being claimed against, Nemon olai abo oyovicho. I'm prepared to believe my father or your father. Im yizkucha, if they make you zakai. What does it mean to make you zakai? To make you zaycha badin. Then yeheimochuloch, I'm prepared to forgive you and waive that money. Although I rightfully claim that you owe me the money, but if the judges, including my father, rule in your favor, then I'm moichel the money. Hosam kamri rabbanan. That's where the rabbanan say einoy yochel lachzer boy, that he cannot retract. Why not? Because he has now been zoicha, the nitva has been zoicha to the money that he's holding, mikiven shiyotso zakai. Since he was zakai, since the bezdin paskin in his favor, and the malva says, I'm going to be moichel, well, as soon as you're moichel, you have no further claim on that money, and it is rightful property of the person who has claimed against the nitva. It's too late to backtrack. But what about in the opposite case, says Rashi? Avol be'etein loch. What does be'etein loch mean? It was never the toiveya who made this claim of let's have our father on the bezin. It was the nitva. The loiva, the potential, the alleged borrower said, listen, you claim that I owe you $1,000. I claim I don't owe you. But you know what? Let's have our father, my father, your father on the Bezdin. And if he judges in your favor, etein lecha, I will give you that money. So it's not the malve, it's not the tevea saying that I'll be moichel the money. To the contrary, it's the nitva saying that if the judges paskin in your favor, I will give you that money. Even though min hatoiro, this Bezdin is not a Bezdin, because my father or your father is apostle dying. But by virtue of the fact that I am declaring that I'm prepared to go with their psak, and if they judge in your favor, then I will pay you the money, etein lecha, says Rashi, avol be'etein lecha denitba. Not like the last Rashi where Rashi spoke about the Teveya. If it's the Nitba who says, Omar le Teveya, he said to the claimer, if my father or your father obligates me to pay, etein lecha, I will pay. Then you can backtrack. Divrei ha-koil yochel lachzor. Even the Rabbonon in the Mishnah who said you cannot be Chayza, but in this case they will say that you can. Why? Says Rashi. Dohoyel v'hamomoin b'yodoy. Since the money is in his hands, where's the money at the moment? The money is in his back pocket, in the Nitva's back pocket. Ein boy koyach l'toyveya. The Teveya does not really have proper koyach lohoitzi to extract that money, elo b'dayonim ksherim, unless you have kosher dayonim. So we're always differentiating between retaining money and giving money. In the first case, where the malva, the Teveya says, I will be moichel, so nobody's extracting any money. To the contrary, I'm saying it is retained in your pocket. Says the Rabbanon, well, once it's retained, that's where it stays. There's no backtracking. But in the case of where the loive is saying, I will pay you the money. And indeed, the father or the father-in-law came down on the side of the tevea, such that the nitva has to pay. Says the Mishnah, here he's allowed to backtrack. Because here we're not talking about retaining money in your back pocket. Rather, we're talking about having money extracted from your back pocket. To have money extracted from you, you always have the right to be chayzer and say, I'm sorry. I'm not taking money out of my back pocket to give it to you, even though from the outset, initially I said I'm prepared to accept the judgment of my father or your father, albeit they're not a dayan kasher, but I've changed my mind. How can you change your mind? So this is the chiddush of the Gemara. Because we're not talking about retaining money, we're talking about etein lecho, giving money. If in order to be obligated to extract money from your pocket and give it to somebody else, you always have the right to say, actually, I insist on dayanim kshirim. Moshe Zelig, you wanted a comment? You're on mute.
I did, but I think you just answered my question.
Okay, in other words, we're learning a tremendous chiddush over here.
Do you think this has anything to do with
Halachos of Chazal? From the outset, he said quite clearly that I'm prepared to accept the judgment of this Dayon, my father or your father, but I can change my mind. How can you change your mind? Didn't you say 1 minute ago that you're prepared to take his judgment? Yes. But because his judgment is not a kosher judgment, min ha-Torah, because he's a Korov, so I've always got the prerogative to say, I change my mind. I don't have to change my mind. I can very gallantly take $1,000 out of my pocket and very nobly give it to the other party and say, listen, you're a very lucky person that I'm so benevolent. I don't really have to pay you this money because there were no three Dayonim Ksherim, but I'm going to stand by my word. And because I said I'm prepared to rely on my father and he said I have to pay, I'm jolly well going to pay. Of course he can do that. But he's allowed to backtrack and say, actually, I've changed my mind. What do you mean you changed your mind? Didn't you say 3-5 minutes ago you're going to go along with the judgment of your father? Yes, that's what I said 5 minutes ago, but now I'm changing my mind. How can you do so? Because in order to be obligated to extract money, not to maintain money, to extract money and having to pay it, etein lecho, to give to somebody else, even the Rabbanon would agree, you can always change your mind and say, I'm sorry, I insist on three dayonim ksherim. So when did the Rabbanon in the Mishnah say that you can not be chayzer? That's in the opposite case, when it was the malva. It was the malva who said that I'm prepared to rely on our father. And if he judges in your favor that you do not have to pay me, then I'm moichel. Ah, well, if that's what the judge is paskened, it's too late to backtrack. Why? Because here we're not dealing with extracting money. The money was retained. That was a psak of the Bezdin. The Bezdin did not pasken that the money has to change hands. The Bezdin pasken that the money is staying in the hands in the back pocket of the loiver. Then he's kaina the money, finished. It's too late to backtrack. So even though when we read the Mishnah, we wouldn't have known this. The Mishnah simply says that according to Rabbanon, you cannot be chayzer. So Shmuel is saying that's only in the case where the money was paskened to be maintained. But where the money was paskened to be extracted, then you can change your mind.
Rebbe?
Yes.
This chiddush, where do you think it comes from? Is it an inyan of chazaka because possession is 9/10 of the law? Do you think it comes from the fact that if the lender is proved wrong, then it's not like he made up a loan. But if the other guy is saying that they have to give back the money, it's like, but he's claiming there was no loan to begin with. Like, where is the chiddush coming from?
It's always harder in halacha to extract money than it is to retain money. We're going to see later on with regard to a shvua. A normal, under ordinary circumstances, even when the Torah mandates a shvuah, an oath, invariably that oath is to maintain your own money, not to extract somebody else's money. For example, do you remember the case we mentioned yesterday of Moida B'miktas? I claim $100, you say 30, yes, I agree, I owe you, I deny the other 70. Okay, so the 30, obviously you have to pay, and the other 70, there's a shvuah. What does that mean, a shvuah? Who makes the shvuah? Does the borrower make a shvuah to swear that he does not owe the money? or does the lender make a shvura to swear that you do and you have to extract the money? And the answer is, it's not the lender, it's the borrower. He makes a shvura to maintain that money in his back pocket. It's always easier to maintain money than it is to extract money. The Torah did not give him, the lender, the right to make a shvua to extract money. To extract money is always harder.
And doesn't this detract people from lending money? If I know it's going to be harder, it's harder. The advantage is to him. Maybe I shouldn't even lend the money. The Torah is always on the side of the person. True. It's harder.
True. It has to be like that because the status quo is that the money remains where it is unless proven otherwise. Okay, so look again at the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda. Again, complicated Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel Machloikis. This whole Machloikis between Rav Meir and the Rabbanon that we saw in the Mishnah. B'mochuloch. That's only in the case when the Tevea says, I'm prepared to be moichel the money and it will be maintained in your pocket. So that's when the Rabbanon said, yes, you cannot be choiza because if it's maintained, it's maintained and that's where it stays. Avol be'etein locho. But if it's not the Malveh, it's the Loiveh talking, the borrower. And he says, I'm prepared to rely on my father or your father in order to give you the money. Then divrei ha-koil yofel lachzer boy. And everybody, even the Rabbanon, would agree that you can be choiza, because in order for him to have to pay out and extract the money from his back pocket, he always has the right to say, on second thoughts, I'm insisting on having kosher dayanim. That is the opinion of Shmuel. Says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, be'etein lecha machlokes. You, Shmuel, said that be'etein lecha, there's no machlokes, everybody holds, you can be chayzer. And I disagree with you. I say that be'etein lecha, there is a machlokes. There is a machlokes. Now, Rabbi Yochanan did not tell us what does he hold about the case of machal lecha. He only spoke about the case of etein lecha. You, Shmuel, claim that in the case of etein lecha, there is no machlokes. Everybody holds you can backtrack. And I say, no, it's not true. But etein lecha, there is a machlokes. Okay. So what about in machal lecha? Says the Gemara, iboy elohu. So the question now becomes, what did he mean? Did he mean that be'etein lecha is machlokes, but b'machal lach divrei hakoil that ein yochel lachzer boy? Maybe in the case of machal lach, because we're talking about money being maintained, maybe everybody would agree that you cannot backtrack because the money has already been acquired. Oydilma bein bezu ubein bezu machlekes. Or maybe he means to say not only in the case of etein lecha, even in the case of etein lecha, but whether this or that, there's always a machlekes. So again, according to Shmuel, there is only a machlekes in one case. Which case is that? Only in the case of mocholoch, but not in the case of etein lecha. What about according to Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan said there's a machlekes in the case of etein lecha. Does he mean only in that case or even in that case? So the Gemara is now going to bring a proof. Toshima, let's bring a proof. The Omar Rava. Now we're bringing Rava to the table. Says Rava, Machloikes be'etein lecha, avol b'mochay lecha, divrei akoyel le'ein yochay lachzer boy. So we speculated what did Rabbi Yochanan mean, but we see absolutely clearly what Rava said. Rava said that the machloikes is in the case of etein lecha. But in machoy lecha, because there the money is not being extracted, it's just being maintained, Everybody would agree that you cannot backtrack. Divrei HaKoel einu yochel lachzer bo. Now, Rava is a later Amoira. Whose opinion is he following? Says the Gemara. E omrat bishloima. If you would tell me that Rabbi Yochanan meant to say, Be'etin lecho machloikas avol b'mochel lecho divrei HaKoel ein yochel lachzer boy. Brilliant. Wonderful. Then Rava da'omak Rabbi Yochanan. Then basically Rava just quoted and then paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Elo I omrat bein bezu u bein bezu machloikas. But if you understand that Rabbi Yochanan, even though he only spoke about etin lecho, but he actually meant to say that there's a machlokes in all cases, whether in etin lecho or also in mochul lecho, there's a double machlokes. So who on earth is Rava paskening like? Rava, de Omar, come on, question mark. So who is Rava paskening like? Rava said, the be'etin lecho, there's a machlokes. And by machalacha, there's no machalikas. Well, I'm sorry, there's no such opinion. There's only an opinion like that if indeed you understand that that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. But if Rabbi Yochanan was saying that actually there's a double machalikas, both in the case of etin lecha and machalacha, so what was Rava saying? Rava saying the machalikas is b'machal, but everybody agree by machal, there's no machalikas. Whose opinion is that? Doesn't that show me what Rabbi Yochanan must hold? Says the Gemara, no. Four-word answer. Rava tama denafshei ka'oma. Rava's saying his own reason. Who says he has to follow any opinion? He's an Amoira, so is Rabbi Yochanan, so is Shmuel, so he's allowed to say a third opinion. Says Rashi, the last Rashi, tama denafshei ka'oma, he's saying his own reasoning. Upolig ataravayu. And he disagrees with both of them. So according to this, I don't really know what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan really holds that machlokes is bezu ubezu. And it turns out we have a three-way machlokes. According to the first opinion, Shmuel, he says machlokes is b'mochay lacha. Aval be'etein, where you're extracting money, everybody would agree you could backtrack. Rabbi Yochanan says is machlokes in both cases, second opinion. And now Rav is saying a third opinion to the contrary, that the machlokes is only in the case of etein lecho. But if it be mochel lecho, then everybody agree that you cannot backtrack. So we've got no proof from Rav with regard to what Rabbi Yochanan holds. So it could well be three proofs, three opinions. Says the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Achor bar Tachlifa l'Rova. So he asks a kash. What's the kash? We learned in our Mishnah, Hoya Chayev l'Chaveiroi Shvua. If one person was obligated to make a Shvua to his friend, and instead of using the regular standard text of the Shvua, what did he say? V'omar loy doir li b'chaye roishcho, by the life of your head. So we saw in the Mishnah, it says, Ramei oim yochel lachzerboi v'chomimim ein yochel lachzerboi, quote unquote, that's the Lashon of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, what Shvua, now we're on the top line, what Shvua were we talking about? Now, remember, we said before, Rabbi Yisai, that a Shvua can, in theory, either be a Shvua to pay money, to be absolved of paying, or it can be a Shvua to take money. So, for example, when we spoke about Moida B'miktas, the Loiva admits that he owes the $30, but he denies the 70. So he pays the 30, and the 70 he takes an oath. So that oath is for what? to retain the 70. We're not giving the privilege to the malver to make a shvua to extract the 70. There are cases like that. It's quite rare. In general terms, normally a shvua is in order to absolve oneself of having to pay, not to give you the right to actually extract money from somebody else. So now, what was the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah says that if he said this funny loshen of a shvua, where he said, by the life of your head, which is not technically speaking a proper loshen of a shvua. So once again, we had a machloikas in Remeh and the Chachamim, can you be chayza or not be chayza? Now, what type of shvua were we talking about then? Were we talking about a shvua to retain money? Well, that would be comparable to the case we spoke about before of mochel lecha, where not that you would have to pay me the money, but the money will be maintained. But if we're talking about a shvua of the right to claim the money, that's like etein lecha. Says the Gemara top line, my love, isn't it true to say that what are we talking about? We're talking about that type of oath, which is there in order to not pay money. Isn't that the shvua that we're talking about, which is, after all, the normal shvua? That's why we have every right to assume that's probably the shvua in the Mishnah as well. It's a shvua in order to v'loy mishalmin, in order not to pay. In which case, that would be comparable to what? To mocholoch. And yet you see, there's a machloikas in the Mishnah between Rameh and the Chachamim. So how can Rava say that a machloikas is only be'etein lecha? But when it comes to mocholoch, everybody agrees that you cannot Bichayza. Well, isn't that the identical case to the Mishnah? The Mishnah says it's a machlekas whether you can be chayza. How can you say that everybody agrees? Everybody would agree in a case of machalacha that you cannot retract. But we have a case of the Mishnah of Shvua, which presumably is this very case of maintaining money. And it jolly well says it's a machlekas. You're a man of Chacham. So don't tell me everybody would agree. Says the Gemara, no, you got it wrong. Loi, comma, ba'oison hanishbo'in v'noitlin. We're actually not talking about that type of shvua in which you swear to maintain the money. We're actually talking about a shvua in order to noitel the money, to take money. Ah, da'avalei ke'etein lecha. That really is a case of giving money. That's not a case of maintaining money. And Rava said, in the case of etein lecha, that's when there's machlokes between the Rameh and the Chachamim. So therefore, Rava will quite happily learn that is the identical case of the shvua in the Mishnah as well. That what type of shvua are we talking about? We're talking about a shvua of noitlin, where there are rare cases. Rashi brings them over here. There are rare cases in which the Torah has given a right to not just maintain, but actually to extract money with a shvua. That's the case of etein lecha, and that's why there's machlokes in Rameh and the Rabbanon. But Rava can still insist that if, however, we'll be talking about a case of mochel lecha, then there'll be no machlokes whatsoever.
Rebbe, could you please lay out the two shvuas and how they would sound, the mochel lecha and the nota, just to give you an idea of what they're talking about.
The mochel lecha, which again just means I'm maintaining the money, is like in the case of moed b'miktzas, I hereby swear that the $70 that you claim, I do not owe you, and I'm maintaining that $70 in my pocket.
And so in that case, we would say he can't be chose.
Correct, according to Rava.
Okay, what's the other one look like?
A shvua sanoitlin, in theory, would be the other way around. Imagine in that case, imagine if it was the malva taking the shvua, and he says, thank you very much for paying me the $30. I'm hereby taking another oath, or an oath, that you owe me another 70, and I'm going to extract that money. So that would be a case of etein lecha. And that's where Rava says, that's where there's a machlekas between Rameh and the Chachamim. Can you backtrack or not? It's always, like we said, it's always harder to extract money. And that's where Rameh says you can backtrack. This is a complicated piece of Gemara, undoubtedly, but we're running out of time. So, Mr. Hashem, we'll go back over it again tomorrow and we'll continue further down the Yom Tov.